grab your wine. It's time for Rosé All Day and Julie's a Mess, where we talk about current events and living in an intersex life. And now, here's Julie.
I'm Julie, and welcome to Rosé All Day, JustJulie.com presents. My guest this evening is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. It is Vienna Ashley, or Vienna Hansel Ashley. We call her V, we call her Vienna, we call her so many different things. Boss, bitch, mom. Anyway, hi Vienna.
Hello.
Hi. She was having some technical difficulties earlier. She is hailing all the way from Costa Mesa, California, which is near Huntington Beach and one of my favorite places in California
Newport Beach. That's okay.
Newport, yeah. Because it's what? People are fresh. People are rich. All of the above. Anyway, let's get right to it. The rosé I'm drinking this evening comes from One Hope Wines and was sent to me this week by a good friend from my circus days, Anissa Barbato. This is it. It is One Hope Winery. It's One Hope Sparkling Rosé, so it's more of a sparkling or a champagne. I'm going to taste it right now. What I love about One Hope, that is pretty good. May finish the whole bottle tonight. May. What I love about One Hope is their mission is that they love to help others. And so for every bottle of wine that you purchase or wine package you purchase from One Hope, the extra money or proceeds of that sale go to funding clean water in underdeveloped countries. They fund...
Nice.
Housing and schooling in underdeveloped areas in this country and other countries. So definitely check out One Hope Winery. We're going to have Anissa on at a later date to talk about her involvement with One Hope. It already is a favorite of mine. That's pretty good. It almost tastes like soda to me, and I love soda. So it's like a rosé soda. I mean, that's like a party in your mouth right there. You may have to have another drink. While Vienna tells us, how do you know Julie?
How do I know you? I met you through Dolly, right? Back in the day.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're good.
Okay. So I met you through Dolly, my aunt, back in the day.
That was a long time ago. Vienna.
Okay, so I knew you as, I knew you then as Bradford. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So that's how I got to know you.
It looks like you're fading in and out. We may have some technical difficulties with Vienna this evening. That's okay. You just partner in and partner out as you can, I guess. So Vienna, I met years ago through my good friend Dolly. We met in 2001. So we've known each other for a spell. One of Vienna and I's favorite things is she tries to join us. I can see you. Yeah, almost 20 years. Is that crazy? Vienna and I are the people that... You know, you always hear about the people you shouldn't sit next to at serious events. That would be Vienna and I. We've laughed through many a weddings, many a funerals. She knows me pretty well. She knows me pretty well. I've spent a lot of Thanksgivings with her and her family. She has beautiful grandchildren. Even her Aunt Dolly, who's one of my closest friends, we all are. I don't want to say we're troublemakers. I mean, out of the three of us, Vienna would certainly be the one that was like, hey, guys, we need to chill. And then like 5 minutes later, we're all laughing again. She's like, I'm trying to be the adult.
I don't so call it troublemakers. I call it fun makers.
Unmakers. Vienna and I do this thing where every Black Friday, you know, we would get together and get up early in the morning, and Dolly and myself and Vienna and her sister Adrienne would put crazy Christmas hats on and go do what everybody else does on Black Friday. But I get tired really easily because of the lupus, and we didn't know that's what it was at the time. But Vienna and I like to do this thing where we find the most comfortable faux bed that's set up in department stores, and we crawl in it together and we take pictures and act like we're sleeping. And when people walk by, we're like, hey, babe, how's this mattress feel to you? Do you think it'll work for us?
That's right. We've got in trouble a couple times doing that, but it was fun.
We love stirring the pot. The difference is, unlike a lot of people that stir the pot, Vienna and I will lick the spoon.
Yeah.
So we stir that pot and then we lick it. Other people just stir it and leave, right? That's what I love about her. So we're going to roll into current events for the week. I have to say, Vienna, I have Roku and a Fire Stick now for my TV. So I'm not watching regular, I watch live TV, but it's not live all the time. You know, sometimes it's delayed by a day or so. And when I was thinking about current events for this show tonight, I had no idea that there was a shooting in Boulder, Colorado yesterday, and that somebody walked into a grocery store and killed 10 people.
I just got the news of that this morning, on the morning news, and I saw some guy being interviewed that was actually there, and the people that worked there didn't even know that there had been a gunman that came into the store. So they were running through going, no, there's a gunman, there's a gunman. So then all the employees rallied the rest of the people that were there in the store and exited them out a back door so they didn't get caught going down a wrong aisle or something. But these employees helped everybody else get out of the store the best that they could. I just thought that was really neat.
I read something about the employees and I thought there are great people out there that still want safety and still love where they work. And so my prayers go out to everybody affected, and kudos to those employees for doing their job.
Yeah.
Also, though, I also read that it's the 7th mass shooting here in America in 7 days. And they interviewed a teen last night on NBC in Boston. And the teen said, this is going to sound horrible, but so the teen was like, I don't want to be that way, but it's happening every day. And is this our new normal? And I thought, I hope it's not our new normal. Like, I hope not. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I think the craziest one I heard of was the guy in Georgia that went into the massage places and opened fire, and how they're trying to say it's nothing but a race crime or hate crime, whatever you want to call it. But then they forget about the other people that were in there of other ethnicities that were getting services that were killed too. So the guy wasn't just aiming for those specific Vietnamese, Asians, or whatever you want to call it. He was just, as he put it, having a bad day. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We all have bad days, but we don't go shooting people. You drink rosé and I drink coffee. And off we go.
Right? Know? People that have a bad day go to massage parlors.
I don't know about that anymore, but
I know you and Dolly and I used to love to go to massage parlors. And you, trust me, there were days that we would go to massage parlors and coming out and it felt like we had been beaten within an inch of our lives. I like that. But but it's just sad. It's just sad that
it's
starting to feel like you have to be on your guard 100% wherever you go. And I think the grocery store is kind of the last place people think they have to be cognizant in a way. It's just, I definitely feel like something needs to be done. I don't know what needs to be done because I do believe in the amendments and to be able to protect yourself and own guns. And it's just sad that we're even at this injunction and where do we go from here and how do we protect our own? It's sad.
I know it's very sad and scary, especially for my grandchildren and stuff, you know, them growing up, what it's going to be like for them. next.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. And a lot of people worry about that, and they should. Here's some good news. Disneyland's reopening, right? That's what I heard.
That's what I heard. Is that true? At the end of April, they're supposed to reopen, and only to Southern California residents. And on a number limited, the people allowed to go. And I don't know how that's going to work reservation wise or what we're going to have to do. So I don't know.
Do y'all still have passes?
They did away with the passes. They no longer do passes. And then they reimbursed us for the passes we did pay for from March to whenever they expired. So I got reimbursed for our passes, but now there's supposedly a talk of something called a legacy pass, and I'm not sure what that's going to be, but I heard it's going to be around $2,000 to get that pass if they do that. But as far as letting people back into Disneyland, they're only going to do it at 20% capacity and only to Southern California residents. So I don't know how that's going to go.
Well, I know that the good thing is without the pass, Dolly can go, and I know she loves to go. I know y'all love going there, and I know that Molly and her kids love going there. So hopefully y'all will get to go back in. I think that's very exciting.
They've been doing things in the meantime, though. Like they have a thing called a Taste of Disney coming up, where it's a special purchase ticket where you get to go in, I think it was March 18th through April something. Where you get to go in, but it's only like you hear the music, you see some characters, you get to taste some of the food, but not in Disneyland. I think it's in California Adventures where they're doing that one.
Well, and it'll probably be a lot like Disney World where you get to see the characters, but it's from afar.
Exactly.
You know, you're not getting to go up and take your picture with them or hug them or say, oh my gosh, I missed you in the last year. You pretty much just get to wave and turn around and take a selfie. But for some people, that's everything.
Yeah.
You know, for Disney lovers and Disney enthusiasts, after the year we've had and everything that people are going through, that's everything. Yeah. So for the people that don't understand Disney and never understood it and don't get it, this segment's not for you. But for everybody else, that's everything. That's huge. That's everything. Yeah. And Walt Disney World is celebrating its 50th this October. And I was thinking the other day and just talking to some of my old cohorts, because I worked at both Disney World and Disneyland, but at Disney World, it's hard to believe that it's been 25 years because I opened the 25th anniversary parade. So I look back and go, oh my gosh, it's been 25 years. Like, that's crazy and cool and it's just exciting and crazy and cool. So this part of the show, we're moving a little fast. It's okay. It's about 6:12, so about 7:12 on the East Coast. It's for those of you that are watching, Vienna's in California. So she was like, what time do I come on? And I was like, that'll be 4 p.m. your time.
Right.
4 p.m. on the West Coast. It's like, it's fun when you have people on the East Coast and even Central Time. But when I get my California people involved, I'm like, make sure you're ready by 4 p.m. So this is right in the smack dab middle of her afternoon, which is always hectic. Your afternoons and your days are always hectic. So I appreciate this.
No problem.
One more. People have been asking me, and I thought I would talk about it because I've talked about it the last couple of shows, is I have information on my taxes. I've been desperately awaiting my tax refund. I haven't been able to find out anything for weeks. I filed with TurboTax. I heard today that TurboTax has had a lot of issues with people that have filed with TurboTax and used them this year. So boo on TurboTax. I filed with them. They told me that my return was accepted, that my state return was accepted, and that it was accepted. And that was back in February. I got my state return of $8. Woohoo! Thank you, Hobby Lobby. But I haven't gotten my refund. And my refund was supposed to include my second stimulus of $600. So I finally got word from IRS last night that they have no record that my return was even filed. So they told me to contact TurboTax, which I did, and TurboTax said, well, we can't resend it. The only thing we can do is amend it on Friday, and then you can resend it that way. But I don't have anything to amend. There's nothing to amend. So today I printed out my tax documents. I'm just going to mail them in with a note saying I e-filed in February. I don't know why you didn't get it. I'm not double filing. Please help a poor girl out. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with that. It's hard. And I don't want to be that girl that's like not filing her taxes, but
no, yeah.
I feel like everything's a mess right now. It's all a mess. It's all a mess.
It is. I know other people who have, my son-in-law, Adam, filed through TurboTax. Well, I helped him and he still hasn't got his, everything went through okay, but he still hasn't got his stimulus. But this year, going through TurboTax with the EDD and stimulus and everything, he ended up owing, which he's never owed before with everything he's been doing. So I think it has to do with the EDD, but he still hasn't got his stimulus check either.
I know. It's just, and then somebody told me last night that got their stimulus check. He was like, well, I heard that if you haven't received it by last week, by the end of last week, you're going to have to refile for your stimulus check like an E, like a credit next year in 2022. And I was like, well, that's just not fair at all. Like you, that,
that doesn't,
I think at that point,
yeah,
that's not fair at all. Mm-mm. So, okay. Well, we're moving back. I hear Marilyn. She has this adorable dog. Look, there's Marilyn. Hi, Mare. Hi, Marilyn. Hi. Hey, Marilyn. Hi, gorgeous. Hi. She's like, I recognize the voice, but where is she? Yeah. Marilyn's adorable. She is a service animal.
Yes. My baby.
I guess that's the easiest way to say it. Marilyn goes everywhere. And she's got her own blanket, and she has for years, and she loves to play chase to the detriment of whoever's throwing the ball. It gets to the point where you're like, let's see where I can throw the ball that doesn't put Marilyn in danger, but definitely occupies Marilyn for 30 minutes so I can eat or drink. But she's adorable. Love Marilyn. Love her. So we are going into... at first I was like, is it Marilyn? Her grandkids are too old to sound like that now. So that's gotta be Marilyn. We are going into the segment called Julie's a Mess. For those of you that are just joining us and this is your first time watching or listening, welcome. Julie's a Mess is a segment where I tell a story. I try and find a story that my guest has not ever heard before. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes my guests are older and they forget, so it's easy. But I try and tell a story that they've never heard before. And midway through the story, I'm going to stop and ask our guest to finish the story based on what they know about me and the time they've spent with me. And, you know, they get brownie points for trying to convince the audience that that's the real ending. They also get brownie points for coming close. Brownie points are really just points from my heart that I love you for being so involved, because I really am not at the point in this series to start giving out gifts or t-shirts. But we're going to try this out. Tonight's story comes from California, and it has to do with a friend of mine, Charlie. His name is Charles Richardson, but I call him Charlie. And Vienna's heard me mention Charlie before because we used to hang out and get into a lot of trouble in California together. So this takes place in an area that you may know of, Vienna, on your way to Palm Springs called Whitewater Canyon.
Familiar.
She's like, it's familiar. And here is the story. Okay. So Charlie and I used to go to Palm Springs all the time. I had a vendor job where I worked in Palm Springs for Lowe's. But we also liked to go there just to get away from LA. And we would always have hijinks adventures. Sometimes we would stop at the Casino Morongo and try our luck. Sometimes it was just a place to rest. We had heard from the gay locals in Southern California that there was a lush green oasis in the middle of Whitewater Canyon. Now, Whitewater Canyon, for those who don't know, is a river basin that runs through the Palm Springs area. Most of the year, because of the rain and the droughts, it is empty. So if you were to go there and look at it, it just looks like desert. It looks like a riverbed, but it's desert. It's white rock. I mean, it's just white rock desert as far as you can see. And Charlie and I were like, hey, we're on the way to Palm Springs. Let's stop and see what it's all about. Let's see if we can find this green oasis in the middle of the riverbed. Supposedly gay men went there to sunbathe nude and to do other things. If you heard last week's episode, it was kind of like Cock Canyon, but on your way to Palm Springs. And so, so we stopped and we pulled up and there were about four or five cars in the parking lot. So we thought, well, it's probably pretty happening. Let's get out and go see if we can find this canyon. So we are walking across to look for this canyon. We're walking all over the riverbed. You have to be really careful so you don't like break an ankle or sprain an ankle because it's very rocky. And Charlie kicks a downed street sign. So it was like a diamond shaped street sign and it was face down. And I was like, how weird that would be in the middle of a riverbend. So we flipped it over and it said, danger, rattlesnake breeding area. You heard me right, folks. Rattlesnake breeding area. Now we knew we just had to be careful. But we literally were out in the middle of this riverbed. And we were probably about a 20-minute walk back to the parking lot. And in the other direction, we thought we saw this green oasis. So we started to head to the green oasis, not really thinking about the danger sign that we just found. I mean, I think in our head, we were thinking it could have washed down the creek, the last big rainstorm. Maybe it's not this area. We also knew there was a fish camp on the other side of the river where people would go and fish. And that was very popular. So at this point in time, I'm going to let Vienna finish the story. Vienna, what do you think happened next?
I'm trying to imagine where you guys were first off. So you guys probably ended up trying to go to that green oasis because that was first on your mind. And as you're heading that way, I can only imagine you probably ran into a couple of those rattlesnakes if it was hot enough out, coming out after you guys. Is it close?
Keep going. I mean, finish. I mean, that can't be the end of your story.
Whole story?
Yeah. What's the ending?
Oh, okay.
I'm here. What's the ending?
You keep freezing. So you guys probably kept trying to find that green oasis, and it could probably be a golf course, Palm Springs, and not a green oasis, but you guys were imagining. And then knowing you, you probably hit on one of the golfers, got in one of the golf carts, and they gave you a ride all the way back to your car. Oh, you're
frozen. That would have been amazing.
Oh, no.
I'm here. That would have been amazing,
okay,
your ending.
Okay.
That would have been amazing, your ending. But in reality, we kind of came up upon the green oasis after walking for a while, but there was nobody there. And so we were stumped that there would be four or five cars in the parking lot and nobody at the oasis. So we start to turn and walk back and we hear.
Yeah.
You hear that rattle sound, right? I'm pretty sure at that point I peed my pants because you're looking. You start looking. Right? You're looking down at the ground and you're like, oh, my God, where are they? I'm literally like, I think I peed my pants. And I think I squatted for a minute, but then I think I jumped right back up because I was like, don't squat. Don't do it. That and we're looking around. Charlie turns all shades of white. Like, he pretty much matched the riverbend. I mean, he pretty much looked just like the riverbed.
Yeah.
And we stood there for a second, and he's like, run. And I was like, run? Like, what do you mean run? You could, like, step in a den. You could step on one. Like, I was ready to do, like, the hot lava game and, like, just hop. But I was like, oh, my God. Like, we were freaking out. About this time, this little boy comes around the corner of the oasis, which I thought, why is he here? Like, he's not old enough to be naked in the middle of the oasis and gay. I mean, he's old enough to be gay, but I digress. But he comes around the corner with a huge super soaker. And I said, watch out. We think we heard a rattlesnake. And he goes, did you hear this? And he cocked his super soaker and, like, sprayed it. And that's exactly what we had heard. And he goes, that's just my gun. That's not a rattlesnake. Charlie and I looked at each other and we were like, we hightailed it. I mean, we ran, hightailed it back, like jumping. Like, this is lava. We were jumping over the whole riverbend. We get back to our car. We get in the car. My first thought is, oh my God, what if there are rattlesnakes around here and they've crawled up in my car and now they're in my, I mean, my anxiety was rampant. I was like, let's go to Palm Springs. So we're pulling out of that area and we saw this gorgeous, gorgeous man. And I was like, let's see what he's doing. Charlie was like, roll down your window. I was like, nope. Rattlesnakes can jump like 6 feet from their destination spot. I was like, I'm not rolling down. I'll roll it down a little bit to ask the man a question. So we were like, you're really cute. What are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I'm from the University of California, Irvine. I'm a herpetologist. And Charlie's like, oh, a herpetologist. You study herbs. And I was like, no, dummy. And the guy's like, no, I study invertebrates and snakes. And I'm out here collecting rattlesnake babies.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh my God, well, we're lucky we're not dead yet. And Charlie says, what do you have in that Tupperware container? And he turns around, he has a Tupperware container and it's taped off with duct tape all around the top. And he was like, a rattlesnake. And I was like, I can't see it. Aren't they like brown? And he goes, no, some of them actually blend into their surroundings. He goes, look closer. And I was like, I can't see anything. Well, the background was all of that white rock that we had just been in. And he went, oh, hold on. So he raised it a little bit so it was against the back of the Brown Canyon Mountains. And sure enough, you saw this baby rattlesnake. And Charlie's like, let's get out of here. And we were like, thanks, you're really cute. Thank you for the information. He was like, were y'all out walking around in that? And I was like, uh-huh. And he was like, that's stupid. I'm like, yeah, Charlie, that's stupid. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But I'm still here. So, I mean, that's the moral of the story, is that Julie's a mess and I live to tell about it.
There you go.
Don't, people, California is known for rattlesnakes. Don't just meander off the beaten path. Don't do it.
Especially out in the desert. Gosh.
Well, they're everywhere. Even in Southern California, they have 5 of the 7 deadliest.
That's true. Even right here at the Back Bay.
And Molly goes walking at the Back Bay. One day she was like, you want to go walking with me? And I went, nope. I've cheated death one too many times to go walking with you in the Back Bay.
Yeah, she jogs more now than anything.
And well, I jog too.
Yeah.
I'd run through the Back Bay if I knew rattlesnakes were there. I'd sprint. And you know me, I don't sprint. Oh, Lord. Okay, now we're going in. We're right at about the 30-minute mark, which is good for us. We're going to slow it down. I want to ask you, just before we go into 5 questions, what's something that we've experienced in the past or you've heard about from Dolly or from equal partners or friends that you've gone, oh my God, Julie. You know, maybe a crazy story about me. What's something that you remember that's just, you were like, I worry about her sometimes.
Well, two words.
She laughed.
Did you hear my two words?
Yeah, sweet cheeks. Sweet cheeks
and lollipops.
Lollipops, we're not lollipops. We are not going to talk about.
No, I know. That's you asked, and I'm just saying.
I asked, and people probably wonder. I mean, people that follow justjulie.com, I use lollipops in a lot of my merchandise, and they're like, oh, she must like lollipops. And I'm like, we're not going there.
There you go.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, because you and I have been pretty open about a lot of stuff. So it's, yeah.
We've been pretty open about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, we're like sisters in a way.
Right? Yeah.
You know, other people are going to be like, Adrian's going to be like, lollipops. We're not telling
there's
her.
Stuff I tell you that I wouldn't even bring up with my real sisters. Let me tell you. Or my
That's
aunt,
how I am.
Or anybody else.
That's how good I am, right? That's yeah, how good
exactly,
I am.
Exactly. No, but I've always admired your sense of adventure and how you've always just followed your heart and your dreams and pursued everything that you went after. I wish I could be more like that. That's really awesome.
Thank you. That's sweet. You know, we only get one life. And I feel like, you know, when I was growing up, I remember my parents were always like, don't do anything that's going to impact the family, which I now, if you heard last week's episode, I call my family the firm. Thank you, Meghan Markle and Harry. So now when I refer to my family, I'm like the firm. The firm doesn't want me to get breast implants. They didn't actually say that, but I'm just saying, you know. So now the firm's going to be like, what's this about lollipops? I have no idea what she's talking about.
Nope.
I don't know. But yeah, they used to say that. And I used to think, well, I'm not going to do anything that totally embarrasses the firm. But at the same time, I wasn't put on this earth for the firm. You know, everybody has their own journey and it is their life. And
yeah,
you only get one. And, you know, I don't want to jump out of a plane tomorrow. But no. If I wanted to, if I wanted to, you should do that. If you want to, you should, because life is too short. And you should totally live the best life that you can with purpose and enjoy it.
Exactly.
So now we're at the point of the show where we go into five questions. So for those of you that are just joining us again today, or you haven't ever seen Rosé All Day, Julie's a Mess, I asked my guest five questions. Now, at the end of the five questions, she has a chance to ask me something she's never really understood, maybe about my medical journey, or just a question, a burgeoning question that she has, maybe about something I've gone through. But five questions tends to be a little fun. We mix it up. Last week, because of St. Patty's Day, they were more Irish kind of based when I was talking to my friend Kat Bays. This week, I don't know what I'm feeling. So I guess first question is, what do you think my favorite curse word is?
Your favorite cuss word? Bitch, if that's a cuss word?
Is bitch a cuss word? I mean, I don't say it a lot. That's actually one of my pronouns. I'm kidding. Actually, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think my favorite is fuck. I think I say fuck. I drop the F-bomb a lot.
Okay.
Sometimes I say fuck a duck. Sometimes I say it under my breath. What is your favorite cuss word?
I don't really cuss that much because I got the grandchildren around all the time. But mine's probably Jiminy Crickets or Snap-a-Doodle. But those aren't really cuss words. So I guess.
I mean, it's the intent behind it. You know, it's almost a word is a word, but it's the intent we give it. So, I mean, if you say
snap is a lot. I use that a lot.
Oh, snap. See?
Yeah.
Okay. What is what word would you pick to describe me to your grandkids if you wanted them to know me better?
Well, they're very young, so it would be kind of hard, but the first word that comes to mind would be vivacious. You're very vivacious, yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Your grandkids are amazing.
I think so.
Amazing. Okay. Let's see. Question number three. If you could recast any movie, any one of your favorite movies with me as the lead, what movie would it be and what would my role be?
Oh, what movie would it be? That's a good one. One of my favorite, I have so many favorite movies. So, only because I know you like the South a lot, this is going to sound kind of corny, but Gone with the Wind, and you could be Scarlett O'Hara.
Oh, I love it.
I can see that.
I love it. I see it as me too. Me too. Liking everybody, and then you have one, and then you're not really true. I get it. Scarlett had problems, but I'll take it. I'll be Scarlett O'Hara. I like that. What's that line at the end where she says, "Today, tomorrow's another day"? Or, you know, funny story, Dolly and I went to go see that a couple of years ago in California. They were running it at the theater in San Dimas, and we went and watched it. And there were so many young people in the audience that were shocked at the way things were portrayed and things were done. And I thought, how can y'all have never have seen this movie before? But, yeah. You know, we laughed at, like, we loved that movie and all these new people were seeing it for the first time, but they also were like, what? Like, yeah. You're kidding me. And then one girl was like, her problems are no different than our problems today. And I was like, exactly. And that movie was made in the 40s. Like,
right. And that line you're thinking of is, I can't think about that today after all, tomorrow is another day, or something close to
right.
that.
Something like that. Yeah. Where she's like, I'll live again. Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
Somebody that's watching this tonight had actually said that to me yesterday because I was having a crap day yesterday. Aww. And he was like, Julie, just remember, tomorrow's another day. And I thought, probably another day of the same crap. It's like, you're right. Tomorrow is another day. Okay. So that was question number three. Question number four is, we have gone on some pretty amazing trips together.
Yeah.
With Dolly. What is one of your favorite trips that we've been on together?
There's been so many. And my brain's kind of foggy, but I like the Las Vegas one. The last one we did was pretty fun.
Yes. So yes. Vienna bought her aunt Dolly a ticket to go see Cher Las Vegas. And I was coming to visit Dolly because I often come out there for weeks, months on end sometimes to get my California family fill. And they were like, we're going to Vegas and we want you to go with us, but we don't have another ticket to go see Cher. And I was like, okay, I've seen Cher and I've met her. So I don't care. Same show, different time. But we went and we had such a blast. Now, talking about Julie's a mess, and not that Vienna does this stuff, I'll let her play her own advocate. But California, you know, marijuana and medical marijuana it's not a big deal. Everybody does it. And so we went to church in California and I got some edibles for the trip because I was starting to feel some pain from having to transition in my lupus. And somebody that I know showed me how to look for potent Jolly Ranchers so I would know which Jolly Ranchers had the most bang for your buck. And Vienna and Dolly go in to watch Cher. A lot of people had gone that night. And I was like, I'll just walk around the floor and wait for them to come out. And they come out and they did their thing and they got their pictures and they both looked amazing. And they wore like they dressed for the occasion. I'm in torn jeans, brown boots, an off the shoulder white, what I call a Hispanic, like senorita shirt with fringe. I mean, I was living my best Southern California pretty girl life. And they both came up to me and they're like, we're ready to go. And I'm like, how, what? And Dolly goes, oh my God, how many Jolly Ranchers did you eat? And I was like, two. Is that too many? So they're inside enjoying Cher and I was having the best time. And we were laughing that like women were coming out of Cher with their husbands and their husbands were like dead-eyed looking at me and they'd grab holder tighter to their wives or they'd hold tighter to their husbands and like shoo them off in the other direction. Like we had a blast. We had so much fun that trip. And what was that place? We went to that one place that we had like lavender gin drinks and we had so much fun.
It was on that trip. It was the bar at the hotel. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
I don't remember the hotel, but we had so much fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's always a party with Vienna, Julie, and Dolly.
That's right. The fun makers, not troublemakers.
She's going to be on, she'll be on the show in the future. I have to, you know, catch her up to speed on how to work a camera and all that fun stuff. But she couldn't do it today, but we're going to get her on here too. Maybe we can have y'all both back on together.
There you go.
That would be fun too. Okay. Question number five. Rolling into question number five. And I'm trying to think of them as we go. I wonder what a good question would be. Let me look over here and see maybe if somebody has, maybe somebody's asked us one. Let's see, running that banner across the bottom. Let's go to chat and maybe somebody has asked us something. Oh, Charles said lollipops, tell us more. Nope, that is not for tonight's show. That would not be. Oh my gosh. Joe said, Charlie, I'll tell you about the lollipops. This is not looking good for me.
Sorry.
Not looking good for me. No. I mean, you told the truth. It is what it is. So let's see. What is something that you love that you know I love? And that's a lot. There's a lot of things we have in common in life, but what's something that you love that you know I love?
Traveling, probably.
Traveling. And I was thinking mermaids.
Just having fun. Yeah.
I was thinking mermaids.
Mermaids too, yeah.
We're kind of going back a little bit. I was telling Charlie earlier today when I was talking about, he was like, everybody wants to know what my story is going to be each week. And I was like, I have to be kind of respectful of Vienna and she's a grandma now and I respect her and all that. So I said, I can't tell a dirty story. So we told the rattlesnake story and I thought that was a fun one, but I wanted to ask you, Dolly's always told me this story. I don't know the truth. And I just always laugh because you have really long hair.
Uh-huh.
You've always had really long hair.
Right.
You don't like people to touch it. You don't like people to pet it. I get it. Now I get it. Then I was like, why not? It's so beautiful. But now I'm like, I get it. Don't touch me.
I don't know where your hand's been.
I heard a story, and you can tell us the story or corroborate, but I heard that like for a radio contest once, you got in a box with a bunch of snakes. And people are like, what? She's going to do it? And your only thing was that they not get in your hair.
That's true. It was for Mark and Brian. We did it at Disneyland. They did a thing for the Indiana Jones ride where we got to go be part of their crowd, Mark and Brian's crowd, before the ride ever even opened up and was to the public. So I was in the crowd and then they picked me out of the crowd to come down. And the thing is, I had to sit in this pit of snakes for so long before I could get this commemorative pack of playing cards for Indiana Jones. And we got to go on the ride, be the very first people to go on the ride. So I said, fine, my hair's going up. They can't go around my neck and I don't want them in my hair. They're like, okay, not a problem. So I did it and we got to go on the ride the very first
people. I mean, what kind of snakes? Like non-venomous?
They were probably, they would have to be like boa constrictors, I would imagine, those kind that are not poisonous, but I was still scared, didn't like it.
I would not have liked it either. And so just for people listening, it was like an acrylic box and you were sitting in a chair in the middle of it?
Yep.
And then they poured snakes in, or were the snakes already in there?
The snakes were already in there. You just got to get in very gently and you sit down on a chair that's already in there. So you don't want to step on the snakes or anything like that. So yeah, it was still, yeah.
I couldn't have done that. I couldn't. But I mean, clearly if I don't know they're there, I can run through a riverbed with venomous ones. But if I knew they were there, no, I can't do it. That's just my mom, for everybody, that my snake fear comes from when I was growing up. My mom, when she was growing up, every time she leaned over to grab a stick or something in the yard, my grandmother, I guess, would yell, put that down or don't do that. That could be a snake. And my mom's always had, I don't want to say irrational because I don't want to talk down anybody's fear. But there, I mean, she can't even see one on television without screaming. I mean, people send her links now, like email links of, look, a cobra popped up in somebody's toilet. And she's like, and she can't think. And I mean, she gets to the point where her anxiety becomes so emblazoned that she'll trip backwards and end up hurting herself, or she'll kick something trying to get away from them. And like, that's where her fear is. Well, so when I was growing up in Alabama, we saw them all the time. You know, my brother would knock a baseball into the woods. He'd ask me to go get it. I'd see a black racer. I wouldn't think twice. I'd let the black racer pass. I'd go get the ball. But then somewhere in my young adult life, I became fearful of them. And now there are times where I'll have dreams in the middle of the night because my anxiety is so high. And I think that they're in the bed with me, or I think they're on the floor and I don't want to get out of bed. And so I've held them before and I think they're beautiful to look at, but I just freak out. And here in Nebraska, they have rattlesnakes up on the west coast of Nebraska, but they don't really have any central or southern Nebraska, but they do have garter snakes, just a ton of garter snakes.
Right.
And I saw a couple last fall when I moved in, and I just stopped and let them do their thing. Do I like them? No. Do I want them in my house? No. Would I freak out if I found one in the mailbox? I think I'd have a heart attack.
Me too.
I think I would. But I bought these topiaries to go outside this spring in front of my house. And somebody's like, wait till you get a garter snake, like right at eye level, looking out of the topiary. I was like, thanks for ruining everything, you shithead. Like, I'm not looking forward to that at all. Anyway. So that was question five. So now is the time of Rosé All Day, Julie's a Mess, where you get to ask me one question that maybe you've always wondered about in my journey, or maybe you never asked. You had said before, we share a lot. We talked about a lot. But you can even revisit one of those questions if you want. But it's just your chance to ask me something. In explaining it back to you, I also get to educate the world about being XXY and intersex. So the floor is yours. What would you like to know?
There's a couple things. Do you wish that your parents were more on board with your decision of what you were doing more often? Because I know it's a hit and miss sometimes with what you're going through.
Yeah. So I have done a lot of soul searching in this last year that I've been in Nebraska. I don't know if you know, but I am talking to my parents again. I started talking to them.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
I didn't talk to them for a year. And then in February of last year, when everything was ramping up with COVID, I thought, you know, my dad turns 80 this year. I don't want to not talk to them and miss out on huge milestone. And the big thing for me was I realized that this is not the case with every intersex person. This is not the case with every XXY, but my parents didn't know. I mean, it is safe to say that they absolutely now, knowing what I know, they had no idea what I was going through at an early age. They have been in the same storm that I have. Not the same boat.
Right.
But we've both been kind of in the same storm. And what I mean by that is, when I found out at 17 that I had the extra chromosome, they found out at 17. And they were still going on what the medical professionals were saying because that was their only turnabout. And there was no information back then, even in 1994. So they were still being fed wrong information. No research being done, still wrong information. Being given the information that everybody else was getting that was XXY or intersex. Being told he shouldn't be alive. And how do you process that as parents?
Yeah.
You know how to process that. And so even at 43, when I was at the NIH and I found out that everything would have to change and I would have to change to the female end of the spectrum, they were still finding that out at the same time I was.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That would be hard on anybody. Yeah. And when I went and renamed myself and I had to pick a new name and I decided on Julie, and we've talked about this before in my blog, I went back to my parents and said, had I been born fully female at birth, you would have given me a name. And they said, correct. And I said, do you want a say in the new name process? Only because I thought that would make it easier on them.
Yeah.
And it has, and it did. Now, me not talking to them for a year had to do more with me being vocal and wanting to tell my story and working on a documentary. And I understand even now, looking back at what their fear was, you know, they thought, how will this impact us? Because it's going to. And I'm sure it would. It would. But they have come full circle in that last year.
That's good.
I call and my dad calls me Julie. My mom calls me Julie. She struggles sometimes and will say he versus she, but then my dad will correct her, which I think is super cute. And then I think she struggles with it because I am still very much Bradford because I was born both. A lot of people in the trans community will say, oh, they're dead naming you. No, they're not. I don't consider it that way because I don't consider myself trans. I was born both. I am still both. I still have parts of both internally. Some have been removed, some haven't, but I am still both. So I think for my mom, it's hard because she still sees me kind of as both, but that's still a huge change from where she viewed me 2 years ago. And I just think that we're okay. We're okay now. And it's a huge learning curve for all parties, but I don't blame them. I never blame them. It's just a learning experience.
So I have one more quick question for you.
Sure. No problem. We have plenty of time.
At what age did you realize, hey, I'm different. I'm not really Bradford all the way. Do you know what I mean?
So interesting story. Obviously, my parents, we talk about things a lot now. My dad had said about a year ago, 2 years ago, that he said, it's all starting to make sense. And I said, what is? And he said, when you were younger, when you were a child, you would approach me and say, Daddy, I'm sick. Daddy, I'm different. And my dad would be like, what are you talking about? You're not sick. You're not different.
Aww.
And I would say, no, you don't understand. I'm different. Maybe one day you'll understand, but I'm different. I'm sick. I don't remember saying that to him, but the fact that he said it to me, obviously, it stuck with him all these years. And I thought, maybe I knew early on that I was different. And I've always felt split. You will talk to some people that were born intersex, whether that be XXY, XX, XO-Turner syndrome, Down syndrome, it doesn't. But you will talk to some people that are on the intersex spectrum and they will say, I've always felt male. I'm not female at all. Damn you. I'm a male. And then you'll meet people that say, I've always felt female and I've always felt, and I wanted to switch and blah, blah, blah. And then you will meet a handful of people that say, I've always felt both. I have always felt split. Always. I've always felt.
Mm-hmm.
And the percentage for me was different. Growing up, I always felt like it was a 70, maybe 60% male, 40% female. Maybe a little more female at some point in time. And then now, because of all the estrogen I'm on and everything else, I'm doing very female things that I never encountered as a male. Last night, I watched a movie called Pieces of a Woman with Ellen Bernstein. It's up for an Academy Award this year. And it is about a couple that loses a baby due to a midwife issue. So the midwife, I mean, it's a heavy story. But at the beginning of the movie, it's Shia LaBeouf and the actress, I think her name's Molly Parker, and they're sharing what it is to have that intimacy of going through childbirth and labor. Yeah. And I've never wanted a child before. I've never, to clear the air, I've never wanted kids. I love them, but I've never wanted my own. And last night I found myself sobbing hysterically. Oh. And I was talking to a friend on the internet and I said, I'm never going to know what that feels like. I'm never going to have that bond with a partner that I'm about to bring a kid into the world. And I'm never going to have a kid. And even if I weren't female and didn't go through all that medical issues that I've gone through, even as a male with XXY, I was sterile. So that was never going to be a part of my history or my realm. But right. The other night it really hit me hard. And I thought, it's got to be all the estrogen. It's got
to
be estrogen.
But you've got to remember too, there's a lot of women out there who can't have children or who didn't have children, and it doesn't define who you are.
No, I know. But it's still something that I'll never get to experience. And then I read an article yesterday where, and this is very important, and I tell everybody this. I read an article the other day out of Australia, and it was talking about pandas and some of the other zoological animals, but they classified intersex embryos and, more importantly, XXY embryos, which is what I am, is being non-viable embryos that should be destroyed. And I thought, that's what the American medical community has long said about XXYs. But now to hear it, even in a zoological context, it still struck me as, one, you're telling me I'm not supposed to be here and my life's not viable, and it is. Yes. And two, some of the things I'll never get to experience. It was just a hard sucker punch. Oh, and sometimes I sit here and go, why do I advocate? Why am I advocating? If this is the general takeaway, and this is how people feel about us, why am I fighting every day? And why do I have a platform? And why am I struggling to tell people that we are viable? And it was just yesterday, it was just like a 1-2 punch. And somebody reminded me today that you still get back up on that horse. You still fight. You still advocate. You still use your platform. You still educate the world about XXY and intersex and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
You need to get back up on that platform with your high heels, straighten your crown, and go on. After all, tomorrow is another day.
Tomorrow is another day. Vienna, thank you so much for being a part of tonight's show. This is episode 4 of Rosé All Day, Julie's a Mess. I enjoyed everybody that's joining us this evening. Please go to justjulie.com, read my blog, follow my YouTube channel. Follow me on TikTok. We're trying to grow this platform out, right? I'm at about 51,000 followers on TikTok and growing, hoping to get to 100,000, trying to get 1,000 followers on this YouTube channel. So please subscribe if you're not already. If you're joining us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts tomorrow or in the next few days, thank you. I hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on those platforms and also go back and listen to ones before. Next week, I will be trying out a different rosé. I also will have my good friend, Charles Richardson, with me because I am going this weekend to what? Pick up a truck for my cousin David in Memphis and drive it back. So I'm sure I will have some new experiences for Julie's a Mess just from this weekend alone. I'll have Charles on the show with me next week. Thank you so much for watching. Deanna, thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
And podcasts, I love you too.
For more content, follow justjulie.com. That's just Julie, JULEIGH.com. Thank you to our guests, and thank you for joining us this evening. Join us next week as Julie tries a different rosé.